Now, it's been a long time. It's at least 3 weeks since we studied Revelation. How many of you know where we quit the last time? Where?
1960.
Was that a guess? Okay. I thought we were. Where? The reason I'm asking you is because I don't remember. I usually dog-ear my pages and I didn't do it. All of it, or?
Yeah, I remember you talking about death and hell, the lake of fire.
That's what I thought. I think you're right. All right. My memory hasn't totally failed in. By the way, let me ask you something. For those of you that were here last week, how many of you were just insulted by what went on? Anybody? How many of you were uncomfortable with what went on? I know at least two. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I know what you're saying. I don't think you were uncomfortable with the service. You were just uncomfortable with some of the things you heard, right? Yeah. Which is really the way it ought to be. Really, I'm tired of flattering speakers with, and I'm tired of people with itching ears. We don't need that. We need the truth. And if somebody comes and makes our road a little bumpy, we just praise the Lord, right? And I don't know that too many roads were made bumpy, but well, I know several people. I don't know how many, but I know of several that got some of their questions answered. Not just by the words that was given, but by the accuracy of them. Because there's many people that have heard so much garbage that it's nice to hear something that is not fake. And I think we better all agree that that wasn't fake last week. It was very, very good, very, very accurate. And I enjoyed it. I didn't like it when he told me what the Lord had told him he was to do, because it looked a lot like show, and that's why I addressed it as such. The other thing I want you to understand is that, and you may not believe this, but there are a lot of tricks that go on in church. Lots of tricks. And there's a lot of little codes and signals you can arrange and all kinds of nonsense. And if you ever accuse me of doing that, I'll hit you. Because I want it to be as real as anybody does. Agreed. Agreed. Kick me. It's probably more effective. My head's pretty hard. But seriously, I want you to understand that. Whatever happens in this body is going to happen of the Lord. And we're not going to make it happen. And we're not going to put on a show. It'll be like we studied Thursday night. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And that's the way it's going to be. All right. Revelation chapter 21. Since it's been a little while, I'll remind you again. This is not a revelation of the end time. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end. I am. That's what it says in the front. We need to start with that and not get away from it. It's a revelation of the I am. That's before time, after time, and everything in between. So it's all inclusive. It does refer to some things that happen right now, before, and to come. And many, many times they're wrapped up together. There are things that are going on right now and things that are going to happen in the future. So as we read this, don't become one of those end time people. Just don't do that. You just become, your fire goes out if you do. Because your faith gets in the wrong place. I don't want joy in heaven. I want it now. Jesus didn't pay for it in heaven. He paid for it now. He didn't pay for my total healing then. He paid for it now. And then. See, the cool part of this is whatever great promises we can find in God's Word in Revelation, it's just a beginning of what it's going to be like later. But let's not lose that one either. I'm not trying to get away from heaven. I want all of it, whatever it is. I want it all. But I want it now because that's when the blessings start. That's according to the Word. You can give. Seed time and harvest doesn't mean you seed now and harvest in heaven. That isn't what it means. Bruises and stripes didn't mean you're going to be healed in heaven. It means now. So everything that Jesus is now. All right. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now what we're doing is we're going back to... Just remember that when God created heaven and earth, He created a new heaven and earth. It was brand new then. So this is really nothing new. We just get to see it now. John moved out of his physical realm. Do you understand that most of our confinement is from what we've been taught? It's not what's real? That if we'd have been taught correctly, we'd have never been sick a day in our life. I don't care what anybody says. It's the truth. We'd have never suffered one time as far as being broke. The only time we get broke is when we get big-headed. And God has to set us down a notch or two. It's not His wish and will. We know His wishes and His will. It's in the Word. The only thing we suffer... Oh, let me show you. In Proverbs 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths," which means He'll prosper and make them straight and smooth. Now listen, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." What? Trusting the Lord. What's the result of trusting the Lord? Straight, smooth paths, health, prosperity, smoothness, life right into your bones. What's a sickness? What's sickness from? Sin. What's poverty from? Sin. Did Jesus forgive? Were we forgiven with the blood of Jesus? Yes. What happens if we sin again? We get to suffer some more. That's what it is. Anyway. Doesn't mean we go to hell. We just get to enjoy the things that Satan provided for us instead of the things that God provided for us. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. This is not the Word. Oh, I was going to have to come. Anyway. Anyway, he's seeing. Let me tell you what my picture is. We're not going to argue about this, but my picture, especially since the study of Revelation, is that God made heaven and earth, and He made it perfect, and He made it beautiful, and He made it without death, and there's no sickness and no disease, and there's no work, and there's just being with Him. And we sinned. And that realm was never destroyed. We were just locked out. It's still right here. It's called the spirit realm. That's why we get to participate in it now. That's why that nobody in any telescope can find heaven. It's because it's hidden from flesh eyes. And the only way you're going to see it is with your spiritual eyes. Now what John did, what did John say? "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I got a revelation." All right, here we are. This is what he's seeing. When is it? To come? To pass? Yeah. It's right now also. There's a spiritual heaven that we can live in right now. And the last... See, we keep quoting this, but let's get it in reality. The last victory is what? All right, now this is a twofold thing. I don't want you to... See, let's don't get confused. My last victory is not when I die. My last victory is when I no longer need this flesh. Because I've already died. Didn't we study that? We're already dead. We don't do it again. Only those that are their names are not written in the book of life are going to see death. Jesus did not just take on your sickness and disease. He took on your death. Now, come on, don't look at me. Didn't He say you'll never see death? To those that are born again, they'll never see. You know why? Jesus took that upon Himself. So for every Christian that's in here, you will never know when your heart stops beating. Don't worry about it. You'll never feel it. You'll never know it. That's a promise from God. So don't let that even threaten you the least. He already took the death. He accomplished the last victory for us, which was over death. When did death enter in? Sin. When did it leave? Jesus. Right? All right. Now, John is looking and he sees God, he sees Eden, which is the earth and the heaven, and he sees the garden, which is where God resides. This is twofold, a taste of perfection when Jesus paid for our redemption, which is now. And then what is to come? Right now, do you understand right now to live in the spirit realm, we have to work at it? Right? It's a constant work. We'll see what heaven is no more work. Come on, unless you become as a little child, you can't take joy in the things of the kingdom. We work at it now. But one day there's no more work. God, now listen, this is good. God created the earth, and when he was through, what did he do? Rested. And he said, now I'll show you how to enter into my rest. He worked, he rested. We work, we'll rest. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now understand that our English is not exactly like their language. Coming down just means coming from. We like to put directions, just like what we like to put tenses and time. But it meant coming from God. Everybody knows what Jerusalem is, right? That's the city of peace. You can't find it on a map. Coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Do we have a bride in here? Anybody here is a bride of Christ? Yeah, me. When does your preparation start? Well, actually, to get technical, it was started before the foundations of the earth. But it starts the minute the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you about your uncleanness. Right? You understand what I'm saying? When I asked my wife to marry me, she started preparing that moment. Well, actually, she started fussing, but anyway. Probably, why did you wait so long for it? But anyway. No, there's a length to that story and you're not interested. That's when she started making preparations. Do you understand? Because she was excited. She wanted to do it. Can't figure out why, but that's what God put in her heart. So, I'm glad. That's when our preparation starts. The minute Jesus, the Holy Spirit, knocks on our heart's door and starts telling us that we are not prepared for engagement. That's when it starts. Now, I want to give you the definition of bride. It means betrothed. Everybody here knows what a betrothed means? Promised, engaged. Now listen, back in these days, you remember how marriages took place. I'll remind you. There were deals made by parents. And there was a dowry that had to come up with. You didn't just get a bride free. It cost. You had to pay the father for the bride. That's the way it was. I mean, you didn't get one free unless she wasn't any good and you didn't want that one anyway. Well, that's the way it was. And it costs very valuable things. The two fathers had to exchange a daughter for a dowry. You know what I'm getting at right here? Now, the marriage did not take place, the consummation did not take place until the supper. the party. It didn't have anything to do with preachers getting up and doing what they do now. That's nonsense. It had anything to do with marriage at all. It had to do with a covenant that was made. And that was done at a place where all covenants were consummated, which was communion, the marriage supper. So right now where we are is we're betrothed. We're not married. The marriage comes, last chapter, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when we really get together and have us a party. That's what heaven's going to be, is a party. The accuser's not going to be there. We won't have trouble with service. We won't have bad waiters. We won't have to worry about tips and who pays the bill. Because you understand, that's the groom's job. That's the husband's job. That's his problem. We just go for the party. We get married. So we're in the betrothal. We're in the engagement stage right now. Let me remind you of a little story, just quickly. There were 10 virgins. That means 10 that were betrothed. 5 were taken. 5 were left. Why were they left? It doesn't say anything about sin. It says they were not prepared. It says their lamps were not full. What does that mean? That means they were not holy. They were not full of the holy oil of God. Their light was not on fire. It could not burn. Didn't mean that they weren't at one time engaged. They were engaged. So don't rely on your salvation to get you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Rely on your preparation every day. The bride adorned is what I want you to understand. Adorned means to put in order. The betrothed that's put in order. Adorned doesn't mean that you put on jewelry on a dirty body. That isn't what it means. It means that, you remember where the Bible talks about that women shouldn't, and men, shouldn't, their value shouldn't be in the jewelry they wear and the gold in their hair and all that kind of stuff. That's what we're saying here. That your beauty, a bride's beauty and her adornment is not in what she can put on, you and I can put on. It's we put on the Word. We put on the Word and we stay on fire and we stay in His presence and we talk to Him and we fellowship with Him, and that brings us adornment, beauty. That's what's being talked about here. A bride adorned, a bride prepared, a bride arranged and in order. Now, understand, I've never been a woman, but I've seen some waxing processes. I've heard about them. I haven't seen very many. That is an adornment process that doesn't feel very good. So not everything that's called adornment in this context feels good. Some of it feels great. God sometimes speaks a word to you, and even though it's corrective, it feels so good you don't even think it's corrective. And sometimes it's the other kind. It's kind of one of these. This is adorned. This is the bride being adorned. All right. We have to be washed with the blood. We have to be prepared by the Word. Those are the two things that are required. Washing of the blood is not enough. That's the first cleansing. But by the Word entering into you and cleaning you and refining you, that is the adoration of God, the adornment to you. Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Not will be with men. Not was with men. "And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Now as we read this, all we hear is future tense. But if you've ever read the Bible at all, you've heard a lot more than future tense about God being with you. You hear in a lot of different places where the tabernacle is. Right here, it's stating very specifically, with men. He is their God. It says, He will dwell, but that is one word. It means dwell. He dwell. Not He will dwell. The NIV says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and their God. Step one. Step one is the engagement. They did not say, this did not say will be. We become the tabernacle of God the minute we are cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, all you have to do is go back in the Old Testament and see how they cleansed their temple and how the price was paid, and you'll see it's the blood. We still see remnants of it today with guys going around sprinkling stuff. They just don't know what they're doing. Jesus did the sprinkling. He did the washing. He didn't fool around with sprinkling anymore. There's a fountain filled with blood, not a little sprinkler. We are His people. He is our God. We are the betrothed of Jesus. We are the children of God. They've been paid for with the dowry of the blood of Jesus. Step two. The earth is purged. We then become truly God's habitation. Now, do you understand? It's simple. It's too simple. We make it complicated. The Bible says, become as little children. So let's understand. There is this engagement. We're cleansed. We're dirty little kids. We're not really. By the way, the betrothal, in John's time, the engagement was made when the daughter was very young, not when she was fully mature. When she was totally unworthy of marriage, she was betrothed. Very young age. Sometimes before birth, they were engaged. They were always married by the time they were very early teens. So it had nothing to do with maturity, did it? It had to do with lineage. It had to do with lineage. You'd check the stock. You'd look at the dad. You'd look at the mom. You'd look at the brothers. You'd look at the sisters. You'd look at the family in the past. And you'd say, now that's coming good stuff. I'm making a deal. Well, am I telling you the truth or not? Anybody that's ever had anything to do with animal husbandry knows that to be a fact. You don't care about the name of the person. You don't care about the animal. You don't care about the looks at that moment. Now, that's where we are. Do you understand it? Before the foundations of the earth, you guys were chosen to be the bride of Christ. And you were chosen before you were saved. You were chosen before you became mature. You were chosen. Not on one thing that you ever accomplished. It had to do with the lineage of God. The seed that He put before the foundations of the earth. So just for your own knowledge, your Father is God. He birthed you. He seeded you before the foundations of the earth. And you come from pretty good stock. Pretty good stock. Kind of hard to get any better than that. Now, as time goes on, we mature. But we mature right into the true oneness. In other words, we don't start off being truly one with God. We work at that, and we work, and we learn, and we work, and we learn, until one day we work and learn right ourselves right in out of this thing, right into the presence of God. That's what our whole goal is to do. That's the true oneness. The earth is purged. You're purged. We become truly God's habitation, once and for all, never to be. Do you understand? This is so cool. Now listen. When we do get to heaven, there's not a thing you can do wrong. You couldn't even try to do it wrong. Did you ever think about that? I mean, you can't even do wrong. It's not. No longer is it even in you to have the ability to do wrong. Now, the neat part about that is, since I never do anything wrong, you can't do any wrong. And I get to be with you now. I'm being facetious here, in case y'all don't know that. I mean, nobody around me, me, around anybody. There can be nothing wrong. Do you understand that wrong in our life is what separates us from God? That's how come He can be a true habitation like never before. Hallelujah. We will have constant communion and fellowship with God as Adam did in the garden. Something to look forward to. Something to look forward to right now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now I'm going to read you my paraphrase according to definitions, not according to imaginations. Our God wipes away all source of pain and anoints our vision and attitude with His oil now and forever. All death, pain, work, fear, torment, accusation, worry, anguish, grief, remorse, I didn't make these up, these are in the definitions, crying, sorrow, fear, have gone to the place of torment with the Father of these things. They came with sin, they left with Satan. Death has passed away, bad has no place here. Oh, that's way out there. Is it? Is it? Does Jesus hold the keys of death and hell? Does He? And He enforces it through us, right? Oh no, that applies to after He returns. Well, after He returns, there is no keys anymore. You remember, we've already read that when He comes, Satan is sent and sealed. When something seals, you don't need keys. There aren't any keys to break a seal. So we're talking about now. Our God wipes away, now and then, all source of pain. Here's the neat part. When it says God wipes away all tears, this is what He means. He actually, right now, see, we don't need these eyes in heaven. We'll see spiritually. Right now, He reaches over and He touches. And He does just takes His thumb and goes like that. But that's anointing. He takes the oil and He heals your vision. That's what that means. He heals the vision with His anointing. So you see different now than you used to see. That's how come Titus can enter in when it says, to the pure all things are pure. Because your eyes have been anointed. I don't need the world's vision anymore. I see things different. Right? Every day you see things different than you used to? Isn't that right, Eric? I mean, you're telling me that every day that that's happening. That's the cool part about being a Christian. Every day that you stay close to God, you see things different. That's God wiping away all the tears and all the pain. Here's what the words in the Word. I'm going to read to you again. Death, pain, work, fear, torment, accusation, worry, anguish, grief, remorse, crying, sorrow. That's what He takes away. That's incorporated in the word pain and sorrow. Now or then? That's right. Just gets better then. Alright, verse 5. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, you see future tense in what He's going to say here? You see any future tense in this? I make all things new. He didn't say, I will. Behold, God is saying, would you get your eyes open? That's what behold means. Look! I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. He didn't say they're going to be true and faithful. I'm going to tell you something. When God says they're true, they're true. And if they weren't true, the minute He said they're true, they'd be true. John was told that what he saw was something that was true and that he could depend on it. He could stake his life on it. He was told that it was now and it will be. Because when I am says it, it means now. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Listen, here's the picture. If I could throw up on this projector a picture of everything we're talking about this morning. You'd see something that you're not used to seeing. You're seeing a picture of life and that more abundantly. You're seeing a picture of no fear and that we can walk in health and abundance. And every one of you would be looking at that picture and saying, I wish I was there. Wouldn't you? And then the person that is putting that on the screen in John's mind, this is what he says. It is done. And it takes away the tense. It's already done in your life. Who did it? Well, God would tell you, I did it in the Garden of Eden. You guys messed it up. I sent Jesus to undo it. It's done. Everything that you have seen is already. And this is what he said. And nothing you can say can change it. That's what God's saying. I am. Here's who said. You know what? If I were to tell you it's already done, you'd say, who said so? And that's what John said to God. Who said so? This was his next response. I am. That's who said it. Now I can, to those that believe and are thirsty for me, give freely, God is saying, all that I am and all that I have. All that I require is faithfulness. You remember what I talked about earlier right here? The holy fear. God's saying to you, all I require is you to be full of faith. That's what faithfulness is. I give it as a tip for services already rendered. Did you get that one? Let me explain it to you. What's the services already rendered? Life eternal comes from you giving your life to God. That's the service you've rendered. And the tip is all this other stuff that's going on. Did you get it? God comes in for a bride. We say, here I am. And then we just get to live in abundance because we volunteered. We right now have all of God and all of His kingdom. Here's all we have to do. We have to wear His mark. Did y'all ever hear of an engagement ring? 777? All we have to do is wear His mark. Or His ring. Or fire, His ring of fire and pure gold. That's all we have to put on. You understand that? All we have to do is take His mark. His mark cannot be erased. You can't say I'm one thing and live another. That's not His mark. His mark is His character. It's not His name, it's His character. The Bible says don't use the name of the Lord in vain. That means don't you say you're a Jesus Christ-like being and live like the devil. Because that you would become one of the five that were not taken. That ring is a sign of chastity. You understand that? The ring, the mark of Christ, is a sign of chastity. The cool thing in the Spirit is that you can, just because you claim to be chaste, doesn't mean you are. God knows. Jesus knows. And what He knows, see, when you are chaste, when you are being a pure virgin to Jesus Christ, He knows and He adorns. And when He adorns, others see. You can't fake that. You can't fake it. Verse 7, he that overcometh. Oh, I thought it was just he that got saved. He that overcometh shall inherit. Well, I thought all you had to do is get saved. Well, then what would that have to do with overcoming? Now, you know, Jason, when you ask Marcia to marry you, do you know how many times she got hit on before you got married? Well, you've been noticing. Am I hit on now? You know when I get hit on? Every time I don't have this on. Which, for your information, I never wear this when I work. One day, in the spirit, I'll never take it off. But not while I work. That's you can lose a finger too fast. So I'm not saying that I walk around saying, hit on me. But I'm telling you, you get hit on all the time as long as you're on this earth. You get hit on constantly. And it says, he that overcomes. You know what that means? He that resists the hit-ons. You hear what I'm telling you? The enemy is always faithful to hit on you constantly in every way you can imagine. So he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. By the way, I wrote in there, there's no tense, shall's not in there. He that overcome inherits. Not shall inherit. He that overcomes. What does that mean? That means that every day I overcome, I inherit a little more. I'm testifying to you as a fact. This is what's happening in my life. Every time that I overcome a little more, I inherit a little more. See, this is a gradual process. We don't like this. But we actually overcome our way right into heaven. And the Bible's directions to us is that I want our engagement to be somewhere between 70 and 120 years. That's the part we don't like. Why? Give you time to mature. I'm not into children. I didn't want a child bride. I wanted one that's mature so that I can enjoy her when she comes to me. Right? To those that have a will to work, fight, conquer, win, do right, and only obey my word, I am your God. That's my paraphrase to you. That's the definition. To those that have a will to work, fight, conquer, win, do right, and only obey my word, I am your God. You are my child. You are an heir to all, now and forever. See, we don't like to put those words in Christianity. You know what? But let me tell you something. If you ever go get a job with somebody, the only way you're going to become a supervisor is for you to do good work every day, every day, every day. You don't get promoted without diligence. You can walk into the place sloppy. You can dress sloppy, you can grow your little goatees, and you can get a mohawk down the center of your head, and you won't get promoted nowhere. And I don't care what you think. Well, we're in a free country. No, you're not. You try it and see. If you're working for me, you won't. Probably won't be working very long. I'll find a way to get rid of you. I don't need this kind of nonsense. You look human. You act human. You work hard. I didn't make the rules. God did right here. He made them right here. All we have to do is follow them. If you will follow them, the inheritance starts right now. Eric, your authority, whether you understand it or not, didn't start the day you got saved. Well, it started. It was birthed the day you got saved. But it'll only be revealed when you diligently listen and obey. Well, that means once a month when we have our annual prayer meeting, our monthly prayer meeting. No, that's just the time we all get together and show it. Now listen, I want to go through this one. It's probably going to take long enough to where we won't get past this one. This is a very important scripture. There's two ways to look at every scripture, and there's two ways to look at every promise. One is the positive, the other is the negative. The best way you're sure about the positive is to make sure you look at the negative. I call it reversing the scripture, but we don't have to now. Here is what God is not going to allow in the kingdom. In the kingdom now, and in the kingdom to come. We won't run into any of these people in the garden. Here they are, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I will remind you, there's 29999 words in here. That means they were never in the original manuscripts. We added them for supposed clarification. And this is what they are. Shall have. See, even when it comes to hell, there ain't no going to be. There is now. What this is saying is these people have their part in the lake of fire now. Now, these words encompass a lot of other words. And I looked up the dictionary. I went to the dictionary and I found them. I'm going to read them to you in my paraphrase. Listen to me. These are the ones that will share in the lake of fire and sulfur. The timid and faithless. Those that could not be trusted to do what they promised. Those that let anything interfere with their relationship with God. Those that sold themselves, their time or gifts for money or fame. Those that depended on drugs or incantations or meditations instead of God. Are those that convinced others to do the same. And I didn't add words to this. This is what the definitions say. Those that worshipped other gods are convinced others to do the same. Those that sought mammon. That's money. That's things. If that's what you're seeking, you're in trouble. Those that spoke untruths are convinced others for personal gain. Those that spoke untruths, you know what an untruth is? Remember, Satan sat down right beside Jesus and spoke the Word of God and lied. So it's not the words that make a lie. It's the intent of the heart. If you are telling me anything to deceive me in any way, you are lying and you'll have your place. Here's the truth. I'm going to give you the truth, the Word of God. What's a lie? Anything but the Word of God. Is that too simple? Let me say it another way. The truth is anything that magnifies God. A lie is anything that doesn't. Let me describe the second death. Those that serve God will give their lives to me. That is their second death. Jesus would tell you that. Let me describe your second death. Jesus would say to you, will you give your life to me? And the minute you say yes, that is your second death. There is no other. You've just fulfilled the second death. It's that simple. Those that serve God will give their lives to me. That is their second death. Those that are selfish, as described above, they will suffer eternal hell. That is their second death. Listen, flesh is destroyed in both cases. Let me say it another way. Did you know that God is hell to your flesh? Did you ever think about that? Oh, come on. You've got to have thought about this. Every time God moves on you, your flesh gets beaten. You understand what I'm saying? And if you won't allow to, if you won't let God burn up your flesh with His glory on this earth, then there's another place that will, you best be assured that your flesh is going to get burned up. It's called hell. So your flesh is going to be destroyed. That old ornery, egotistical, bad mouth thing that you wear. That thing that always wants to go the opposite direction the way God's going. Now that's mine and yours both. Let's just be real. Every morning my body gets up, it does not want to confess that Jesus is Lord. It wants to be Lord and it wants to say, lay back down. You know, I got a praise report. The other night, I got food poisoning. That's not the praise report. Hang on. I've had food poisoning multiple times. And I've never, ever gotten victory over it. Not one time in my life have I ever beat food poisoning. I did the other night. I got it. I knew what it was from. Anybody that's ever had food poisoning, there's no doubt about it. You got it. And I would not, I fought it. My body wanted to be Lord, and I confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I went away. That's a miracle for me. I hate food poisoning. Oh, I hate that. Oh, I'd rather be run over by a truck than get food poisoning. It hurts less. I beat it. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you something God has given us. Or as the Bible says, be bold, be strong, be of good courage. Well, but what if I say Jesus is my healer and I didn't make it through this one? Well, it says be strong, be of good courage unless you lose, then be a wimp. Doesn't say that. You know, you ever watch football players, they get up on the line and they'll bang each other and they go down and they get right back up. And they do it again and again and again. And people praise those nuts. And if a Christian does that, they mock them. See, I told you that wouldn't work. See, it's got to be God's will. And you weren't in God's will. Well, maybe that's a partial truth. I don't know. What's that got to do with anything? Does that mean you can quit trying now? Well, if you're a loser. Listen, I'm going to do this one more time, and I want you to make sure in your heart that we don't fit, none of our lives fit in this thing. I don't want you to ever be timid about God's Word. I want you to be bold and be strong. And I'm going to tell you who you scream at the most, and that's the devil. Don't scream at me, it won't do any good, I can't heal you, and I can't make you sick. Well, I can't heal you. Be bold and be strong. Never, ever, 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 ever let anything become between you and the Word of God. Never. The Word of God is, let me tell you something, the Word of God is real and true whether you believe it or not, and it'll be real or true whether you use it or not, and the only person that's going to lose out if you don't use it is you. That's all. Be full of faith. Be strong. These people are not going to make it. Those that could not be trusted to do what they promised. Go home and write it on your wall. Those that cannot be trusted to do what they promised won't make it to heaven. How do I know that? Because the only thing you've got to give God is your promise. Did you know that? Did you know that? The only thing you've got to give God is your promise. Listen, remember, He breathed into you His very Spirit, and you became alive. And then He put vocal cords, the only thing that He created on this earth that has a mind, a reason, and a vocal cord to speak the reason. And then He said, don't let the truth depart from your mouth. Don't do it. Or you won't make it. For every preacher and teacher and every Christian that's ever alive, those book writers and everything in between, Those that sold themselves, their time or gifts for money or fame, they won't make it. Let me get real straight with you. If you're going to your job for money, you may not make it. Come on, we got to get our minds straight. You know why you go to the job that you go to right now? To bless others. You going to bless your boss, or are you going to bless those that you run into every day? It's the only reason that you go to your job. How do you bless your boss? Do more than they ask. And do it the way you think they would want it done. More than that, since the Bible says do everything as unto the Lord, you do it like the Lord your boss. And if you mess up, then you undo it and redo it. But you don't know how that's much going to cost. Yes, I do. I've messed up plenty of times. I know exactly what it's going to cost. It may cost all your profit, right? If you're in construction, it may cost all your profit. Turn them off. Don't make any difference. You just do it. Those that depended on drugs or incantations or meditations. Where's your faith? Is it in your vitamins? Anything wrong with vitamins? No. No. I asked you where your faith was. Is it in your medication? I didn't say there's anything wrong with medication. I said, where's your faith? If you'll think about it this way, soon the medication will go. You won't need it. It may take time. I don't care how long a time it takes. The only way to please God is by faith. And without faith, you'll never enter into heaven. That's what this is saying. I wish I could get this across, how strong this is to me this morning. If you don't act in faith on God's Word, you can't make it to heaven. We're in the last time. You know that? We're in the last days. And God's not looking for a bunch of wimps. He's looking for an army that's going to ride the white horse. We just read that. He's not going to be the only one riding the white horse. We're riding it with Him, those that are not timid. More than that, Revelation says we're going to be part of that exacting justice. He's not going to do it by Himself. Who's He going to use? Those that are faithful and true. It says there, faithful and true. I don't want to read you every one of those definitions. Let's see if we can make one or two more. Hope. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now this is a little strange. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. That plague wasn't made. Now let me show you. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now this angel didn't come and say, I'm fixing to pour out on you in the last days plagues, and the bride's going to get poured on too. That's what he wasn't doing. Go around threatening the bride, I won't pour on you. Threatening the bride to pour on. That's not what's happening here. It said the angel, I've thumped her and everything else. She has to worry. Why do you think everybody's sitting back there? This angel is not a threatening angel to the Christian. The plagues are not made for the Christian. They weren't afraid because he had plagues. They're not afraid of anything. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. You got that? Walks up and says, let me show you something. I'm going to show you the bride. And he carried me away in the Spirit into a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven or from God. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to do it now, and I'm going to do it next week too, because I want you all to get this one. The high mountain just means an exalted place. It doesn't mean 14,440 feet. It means an exalted place. Showed me that great city. That, you know what the city is? Understand, the city is a protected area. Walls around it. That's what it means. They're protected. They're inside and protected. The holy Jerusalem descending or coming from God. My paraphrase. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and mighty surrounded people. These were great in character and dignity. That's the definition. They were great in character and dignity. These were God's holy people. They were dwelling in good and in health and in prosperity and in power, all flowing from the throne of God. Man, you all get excited about this. This is you. This is not then, this is now. Surrounded people, protected people, full of dignity. You know, I told my kids that I was walking across the parking lot and they were kind of like this, you know. By the way, that's kind of the way we're taught. Put your shoulders back. Put your head up. That's, man, if you know who you are, you can walk high. You can walk proud. I don't mean proud of who you are. Proud of who God is in you. Show the world who you are. Because you are part of the Holy Jerusalem, people of dignity and honor. Why? Because you're so good? No. Because Jesus is so good. Here's what they look like. Verse 11. Having the glory of God. Woo-hoo. I want to give you an exact definition of the word having. And then let this sink into you. It's spelled E-C-H-O. How do you like that one? The original word was echo. Echo the glory of God. You sound just like Him. You look just like Him. You're an echo. Why? Because you're speaking His Word. You're living His Word. Having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone, unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Nobody misunderstands you. You're bold and mighty. You know, they know who you are. Here's my paraphrase. These people of God echoed or had the reflection of the glory of God. These were splendor and brightness. This is the definition of glory. Splendor and brightness and magnificence, excellence, preeminence, grace, dignity, majesty, perfection, glorious condition. How many of you are in that right now? So you're going to put it off to heaven? Well, the Bible says that if you put it off, you won't get to heaven. So you won't ever get it. You've got to start now. Do you know you are these things? You are the echo of God. You reflect His glory. You look like Him. Listen, I'm going to read it again. Splendor. You ever look at yourself and say, boy, you are splendorous. Whatever that is. Splendid. What glorious, splendorous, glorious. Anyway, you're full of splendor. You're splendid. You're bright. That's what the word means. You're magnificent. You're excellent. You're preeminent. You take first place. I keep telling you that all the time. You're gracious. You have great dignity. You're majestic. Here's the good one. You're perfect. What it says right there. You're perfect. You're glorious. In all of these conditions, all of these states, you're in now. And if you think that's good, wait a while. It's going to get better. You guys are hard to thrill. I'm sitting here telling you the truth. So I'm going to quit. I'm going to take my marbles and go home. Now, we're not through with this yet. There's more. But you can't handle what I gave you now. I can't. I got to be honest with you. I don't get up in the morning and call myself those things when I look in the mirror. But you know what? The Bible says I'm supposed to. It says I'm only to speak the Word. And if I don't speak it, I'm a liar. Now, once I get through calling myself that, this is the rough part. I got to call you that. Isn't that the truth? I mean, it would be bad. It would be wrong if I only called myself that and not called you that. I would be a liar if I don't call you that. Well, see the neat part. Let's really get down the nitty-gritty. The coolest part about this is that's what God calls you. So that's the only thing that counts anyway. You want to be set free? You want to be set free?
Yeah.
How about you? Let me ask you something. How am I going to be set free if I believe any other word than the word I just spoke to you? Because the other words are coming. Stupid. Failure. Liar. You screw up so much. No way you can go to heaven. Besides that, you're ugly. That's the way the devil talks. That's the way the devil talks. You might as well know that. And he'll talk that way through men. And you got to choose you this day who you're going to believe. Now, I just read your scripture. And I just told you what men are going to say. Which one are you going to believe? You know, you don't stand a snowball's chance in court. You don't stand a snowball's chance of getting that promotion. There ain't no way you can get a 4-point average. There ain't no way you can sell guns. You just don't have the funds to get them. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Your business can't grow. You don't have the ability. Right, I don't. What's your point? I know somebody does. I know somebody that does. I know somebody that wants my business to go no matter what. No matter what. All I got to do is be honest and open. Never will forget. See, Eric thinks he was sent here to be taught. And he don't know how much he's been teaching. But that night he called me up and he was whining and wailing and moaning and groaning and blah, 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 blah. You know. And you get so sick of that, I finally just said, what is it that you want? Won't you just tell me what you want? I want to know if God is real. Now we got down to it. Now we got to it. Now it's easy for me to tell you the answer. You'll know tonight. That's what I told him. You'll know tonight. Larry, in your business, just get to the point where all you want to know that God is real. And His Word is real. And in the marriage. And in the children. That's all we need to worry about. Let's forget about all the complicated stuff that we can't manage. Whether Israel is going to fall or where if Iraq is going to do it or any kind of... Whether the guys in Texas are going to win or lose. Who gives a flip? I want to know if God is real. And the only way I know if God is real is to try Him. And the Bible says, God says, try me. Try me. Which means trust me. Just once and see if I don't come across. Trust me. That's all you got to do. Trust my word. When I tell you that everything is pure to the pure, then watch them. Look at them as pure. Don't look at them as what your eyes see. When I tell you I can make it turn out okay, then trust me. But why did he take me out of South Texas? Now, you're not the first one to ask that. So he didn't have to tell you anything. Do you understand? Hey, remind your wife that she sings a song that says, even in your silence, what's the answer? What's the rest of it? You're faithful. Even when I don't hear you, you're still there. And the word still applies. And even when I don't feel like I'm doing good, I'm still doing good. And when I feel like I'm a failure, I'm not, I'm perfect. Why? Because God said so. You see, you become perfect by believing God, not by doing good. Strange, strange life we live. Strange bunch of people I have to hang around. They don't go by sight. They go by faith. You become healthy by not the medicines you take, but by the word you take. And then we studied Thursday night that it's the word you murmur. Remember that? Never saw that before. It's the word you murmur. You thought murmuring is wrong. It is if it's the wrong word. But the definition of speaking God's word is murmuring it. And the definition continues and says where you feel good or where you feel bad, you murmur God's word. And whether you like it or whether you don't like it, you murmur God's word. Well, what does that accomplish? Health, prosperity, beauty, honor, dignity. People learn to trust you. You learn to trust other people. Well, what's the downside? There isn't any. Corinthians says that to the world, you're a fool. But you know that they're fools. Did you know it says that? Plain as day. Anybody that follows Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the world thinks you're a fool. So please don't expect to get the next Emmy or Oscar. Because you're not a liar. You're not an actor. An actor is a liar. They're trying to be something they're not. Trying to be what God... They're trying to be something that other than God made them. What God made them. Don't expect the world to give you an award. Expect... What's your reward? What's your reward? Now let's see. The Oscar or Jesus? Money or Jesus? Fame or Jesus? Let's see. Praise the Lord. I am so glad that when the blueprints of the kingdom were set up, God didn't see them as blueprints. He saw it as a finished product. Understand that? We see the blueprints. He sees the finished product. All the measurements are there. All we have to do is build according to the exact measurements that He draws. They're right here. They're in the Bible. Can we build our lives according to His measurements and His directions? Can we do that? Let me ask you something, honestly. Did I put something out here today that's further than you? I ask so many trick questions. You know, here's what I prayed to begin with, and I want you to pray before you come to church every time, is that something is laid before you that's greater than you, or greater than where you are at now. Not greater than what you can do. I didn't mean to ask it that way. But greater than where you are now. I want that every day of my life. I want God to show me. We studied Thursday night. This is the picture that was drawn. What was it? Was it Moses or Joshua? Who was it? Said, I won't go unless you show me the way. Moses, yeah. He just stopped. And he said, I don't hear nothing. I don't feel nothing. And if you don't show the way, I'm not going anywhere. Well, it's Stan too. Unless you go before me, I won't go. You know what that means? That means that God goes and He kicks the rocks out of the way and He knocks the trees down and all the obstacles and leaves the footprints. And all we got to do is follow. That's what that means. I've been praying ever since Thursday night. That's what I want. See, God showed me that. I want to see your footprints. I want to see them right in front of me. I don't want to hear your voice anymore. I don't want anything that I can misunderstand. Footprints I can see. A path cleared I can see. I know He's been there. I can hear Him still walking. I'm going to catch Him. I'm going to go so fast, I'm going to catch Him. Don't hint to me no longer, God. I don't want any more hints. I don't want any whispers. I want You to scream at me because I'm hard of hearing. Be bold. Be strong. Don't be afraid of God. He's not afraid of you. Don't be afraid. Tell Him what you want. I want to know exactly what I'm supposed to do. How about you? That's why we're studying the Word, right? By the Word, the promise in Revelation was anybody study Revelation is going to get blessed. So what? We're getting blessed, right? By the way, I've been asked a dozen times. I'll remind you again. Last week, the guy for the building was out of town. That was nothing's changed. That was the way it was the whole time. We're supposedly going to meet with him this week. I want you to agree with me that neither you, me, or him have a thing to say about this.
Amen.
That okay? That way we'll know God went before. All right? Remember what I told you about the plane? Remember about I was praying about that landing? Very important what I'm telling you here. I'm praying God help that pilot. And God says, you want him to do it, you want me to do it. Because if you want me to work through him, I got his limitations to deal with. Well, in that case, God, you do it. So I'm not just laying it on him. I'm saying me, him, you, me, nobody. Have nothing to say about it. God only lands this thing, lands us where we're supposed to land. Into the building we're supposed to, in a way he wants it. I trust him over that man, over me. Can we agree on that? Because we were informed today that we've been here 1 year today. And I told my wife nothing would tickle me pinker than for this to be our last day here. Never have to come back. Do I like the building? Great room. Don't worry about that. I'm not against the hotel. I just want something better. Can we agree?
Yeah.
All right. Let's put it this way. Anything, I don't want to know everything about your life today. Anything pressing,